So I've received the topic for today. The reading is, as you can see, is Matthew chapter 8, beginning from 28 to 34. When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs were feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but when I was given the task of preaching from this particular passage, I was very struck that Jeremy wrote on the title, "He does not give easy answers," referring to Jesus, of course. And I thought to myself, actually, Jeremy, you do not give easy sermons either. So here we go. I'm going to attempt to crack it a little bit. What can we do about this passage? It's very strange, particularly to us in the 21st century. Two demon-possessed men who are violent coming out to meet with Jesus. We know that they were so violent that they blocked the road between the towns. And you could imagine what it was like to be walking down the road and then to meet two violent men coming up at you. Now, Jeremy has not said that actually, although I'm a clergyman, I'm a hidden one, so I don't actually have a parish because I work as a psychotherapist here in the city. And of course, the first thing as a therapist when I look at the passage is the violence. It's very interesting to me because it's hard to understand violence, of course. We sometimes hear of it in the news and sometimes we perhaps experience it for ourselves, some of us. And psychologically, it's very interesting to think about violence because violence is something, in fact, that if we think about it, is something that can't be digested within us, and so it gets spewed out, so we can't contain it, and many of us will know this. Sometimes, I don't know about you, I have moments when people say something to me or some action is done again. What happens is the red mists come down. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. You're all right. So I'm not completely the only person here. So it's a little bit like that. Something takes over. Now, scientifically, research has been done. It's very interesting about how the brain, the part of the brain that processes things, shut down when there are events that overwhelm us. So anger and rage is one of those. So that's why we then go into fight or flight responses. Now, I'm interested in that, but I was even more interested when I read the passage to hear that actually it is a taking over, but this taking over is a spiritual one. It's not just psychological, it's a spiritual one. It's two demonic activity that has overtaken the minds of these two men. And for me, that's very interesting for us to think about. They were taken over, and when Jesus turned up on the road, they no longer could hide. So something that was hidden is now exposed. Something that was taking over was now opened up. The demons knew who Jesus was. And immediately they responded. and their personalities that's taken over. So they responded by saying, what do you want to do with us? Why have you come? And have you come to torture us before our time? Meaning they know that they're ending. They know that they're going to be facing judgment. So one of the things I think that this passage is really trying to show us is that, in fact, when Jesus turns up, things become clear. The things that overtake us, the things that we don't understand, the things that puts us into a fight and flight mode, when Jesus turns up, it clears up. It becomes clear to us. And I think that this is perhaps what some of us need to hear today. It might be that in your situation, in your workplace, you might feel overcome by something or by someone or something that's said to you, and you might be ruminating over it, wondering about it. If we invite the Lord Jesus to come in, things might open up and we might see things clearer. Now, I think it's very interesting that the gospel writer Matthew here did not describe anything of Jesus' reaction beyond one word. If you read the other parts of the Bible, if you get the chance to, there's a lot of description. You know, usually Jesus moved with compassion or Jesus put out his hands. But in this case, it was just one word, go. And this was in response to the demonic voices. And I think that it's a very interesting description because I think it's a demonstration of Jesus' power. You don't need to do that much. Just one word, go. And the demons left. I don't know about you, but if, like me, you probably have moments of great challenge in your workplace, in your families, and there are moments perhaps when things become baffling for you. And I have had moments when, you know, I think to myself, I can't think straight. And maybe in moments like that, it's useful for us to begin thinking, I wonder if spiritually there's also something there that needs tackling. And so usually I would pray, as Jesus has taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, but pray quite specifically. So I might say something like, Lord, I pray for your kingdom to come over my situation, over my life, over my work, over my boss. I pray, Lord, that you would deliver me from evil, that the blood that you shed for me will cover, the victory that you've won for me will cover this situation and this thing. So it's one way of using the Lord's Prayer, taking out from it, and actually taking hold, I think, of what the gospel writer Matthew here is trying to tell us, that if we invite Jesus into situations, things become clearer, and some things might leave when that's not supposed to be there. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Now, here's the really tricky bit. The next bit is when Jesus said go, and then all these demons went into pigs, right? And then the whole herd of pigs ran off the cliff and drowned. Really dramatic. I would give a lot to be there just to watch it. But here we go. So I was thinking, wow. And I think that it's very fascinating because in some ways, if you look from the outside, it might look like magic. But actually, something is happening here that's very relational. So two men approaching Jesus spoke and said, go, restored the two men. Don't forget the two men. But there are also people around in that town who are watching and looking. Now, I think that for us, listening and looking, it's very baffling. And I think on first reading, I did remember thinking to myself, why are these people not happy? I mean, there are two men who are restored here. Now the road is cleared, no more violent men running around, jumping out at people. Why have they all come out and asked Jesus to leave? And, of course, I looked up commentaries. Not Google, you'll be pleased to know. So, looked up the commentaries, and lots of explanation. I'm going to give you two. One said that, you know, for the Jewish audience, the pigs would have been unclean animals. So it would be quite entertaining for the Jewish audience to hear this, because it's a little bit like from a fire into a, you know, a pan. Or is it a pan into a fire? And it's quite funny, you know, it's a bit like, here is the wisdom of Jesus. I think that, you know, that's one of the points. The other explanation that's given is that if it's for Gentile audience, i.e. people who are not Jews, maybe it's because the pigs are actually the livelihood of the town, because they would have been farmers. And so maybe that's why when the pigs all drowned, they all became really upset and asked Jesus to leave. Now, both explanations are possible, and they're very good explanations. But I was musing over this and thinking what it meant for us and what it means today. And I was asking the Lord about this. And as I was thinking about it, I just had this sense that, in fact, maybe they asked Jesus to leave because they were afraid of him. Maybe they saw what happened and suddenly realized that here is somebody who is so unusual that even demons obey him. And we're not sure what to do. It's actually quite frightening. Perhaps that's why the fear overtook them. And they could not welcome Jesus. So, dear friends, today, if you think about it, the Lord Jesus is here today too. He's here with us. His presence is with us. Here in this city, here in this church, and here in our offices, in our workplaces. I wonder if sometimes we allow our fear to blind us to the presence of Jesus, so that we do not see him clearly. Jesus does not promise financial prosperity. Sometimes out of his goodness he gives that. But he does promise himself. And it is perhaps an invitation to us today to trust him, to look at him clearly, to see that he is the Lord, the King, the one who rules the heavens and the earth, the one that even demons have to listen to and obey. So take heart. If, like me, maybe sometimes in your heart of hearts you think to yourself, fear runs first, fear of not enough, fear that I'm not doing the right thing, fear that I'm not working hard enough or earning enough, fear that lots of them, those are mine, by the way. Maybe today it's an invitation from the Lord Jesus to look at him, to invite him, to welcome him as he turns up and drives away the things that puts us under attack and overwhelms us and clouds our vision of him.